Well, here we are on the cusp of another year, another opportunity to begin things, which for some people is the most exciting time or the most exciting possibility. And then there are some of us who just think, begin what? Ugh. I already have too many things I've begun and not finished. There's too many things that I should be paying attention to already. Please don't ask me to do another one. And then I think for most of us, we're somewhere in the middle. There's something interesting and enjoyable about new beginnings, about new years. And it's enjoyable because for many of us, the challenge of just ongoing life as much as anything is, and I use this word carefully, is dealing with boredom. By the time you've reached, almost sort of any age that you might possibly be allowed to vote or go into a liquor store and not have people look at you sideways if you're there for whatever reason that might be, most of what we do is what we've been doing for a while. Most of what we do is a certain amount of repetition. And there's nothing wrong with that in and of itself, of course. We repeat all kinds of things, like sleeping, which is good. We do that every day. We eat. We do lots of things over and over again. And we never find them sort of old hat. But as I was looking at the texts for this lectionary week, which are familiar, I think, to many of us, I thought, what do we say here that's new? It's a new year. It's the beginning of a new year. Shouldn't I have something that's new for all of us, something that we can begin together? And then I thought, well, that might be a little... Well, first of all, it might be a little difficult. In a group of this size, the chance of me coming up with something completely novel for all of us that we would be interested in pursuing seems pretty slim. And then I was thinking again of a new year is frequently a time when we begin new things. And as I was thinking of that word begin, but do we actually have to begin things that are new? And it's a bit of a trick of language as much as anything, what I was thinking of. But what's wrong with beginning again? What's wrong with starting again? Many people who've been married for a long time go through an exercise that for people who have been married for only a short period of time seems kind of odd. And it's when you restate your vows. And I don't know how many of you have done, many of you here who are married have done this, and it's not one of those things that you have to do or there's something wrong with you, because of course that's not the case. But why would somebody restate your vows? You've done them once, you've said your vows, why? What more do you need to do about that? Well, to illustrate perhaps the fallacy of that, there's a well-known story that I'm sure you've all heard. I may have even told it here already. The people getting, a man and a woman getting married, the man being of a particular sort, at the conclusion of the wedding ceremony said, "There, I've told you I loved you, I'll let you know if anything changes." Well, nobody really lives their life that way, do they? Of course not. And that's where things like renewing vows comes in, to remind us of these things that we've done again, in a very real sense, to begin again, not from scratch, but to recapture some of the delights of that beginning energy and adding it to what we already have. One of the most enjoyable things about performing weddings is if you're able to look out in the audience, the assembled witnesses, when the new couple are saying their vows, and watch people who've been married for a long time. Because most of the time they're not looking at the couple, they're looking at each other. I've seen it over and over again. Where this young couple, about to engage in this new relationship, this new life together, are saying these vows, and I look out and I see people who've been married for, oh, sometimes only just a few years, and sometimes for decades, looking at each other. And you can see it as if there's thought bubbles above them going, yeah, we did that. And we'd do it all over again. And sometimes we renew our vows publicly. We say them together. Heather and I have done it. The best of all possible worlds, we would have sort of recreated our wedding day, but, well, that's kind of hard to do, so we got someone else to stand in for the minister. But we did it in front of people because it was a meaningful thing for us. Not because we'd forgotten that we loved each other, not because we were beginning from nothing, but we were beginning again. It was an opportunity to revisit some of those things. Well, we can do that here on this new year. The church year has already begun, of course, and I'm actually pretty grateful for this. The first Sunday of Advent is not the time that we make resolutions that last, 48, sometimes 72 hours, sometimes longer. Resolutions and all that sense of newness is attached to the turn of the calendar, to January 1st. And so as I was thinking of these texts, these so familiar texts, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was with God in the beginning. I thought, let us begin. What are we beginning this year? Well, for each of us, it will look slightly different. Because for each of us, there are things that we would like to begin. And for some, they will be completely brand new things. And that's tremendous. You're adding a new habit, perhaps, of whatever it might be, whether it's something health-related, you're going to drink more water or get more exercise or eat more or less of any particular food, whatever it is. Perhaps it'll be self-improvement. You'll take a course. You'll work on something that you've always wanted to do. Perhaps it will be around your devotional life. You'll add a new pattern of Bible reading or meditation or whatever it might be. But then perhaps you're thinking, there's this thing I've been doing for a long time. And I'm going to continue doing it. But is that enough? And I'm here to tell you that it is. Because what I would like us to consider beginning is becoming more and more the people we were created to be. And that's something that we begin again, because that's something we started from the moment we were conceived, from the moment we were born, from the moment we moved into this relationship with God through Jesus. And I would like us to think of this as a new beginning, not from scratch, but beginning again in this year of our Lord 2016. I don't know what it is that each of us needs or wants or should begin. There are so many options that are there. But I like the fact that what we read in the gospel reading, what Lee read for us, is the transcendence of Jesus, who is there from the beginning, where beginning has no meaning because it's always been, and continues to be here now, beginning again. We read in Scripture that things can be new every morning. That God's faithfulness can be renewed in us, can be new to us every morning. Perhaps this is something else that we can look at. What can be new for us this year? What can we begin or begin again? One of the things that I was hoping to address in our prayer of confession was the all-so-human tendency to look back on ourselves and only see what was wrong, what didn't work out. To look back and see the limitations that we put upon ourselves. It's human nature. And once again, there's not anything fundamentally wrong with it. But when we become fixed on what's gone wrong in our past, it makes it very difficult for us to move forward. And one of the things that many of us find hard to really grapple with or really take upon ourselves is the reality of forgiveness. So perhaps this year we can all begin to live in the grace we've been given. Occasionally, when I'm talking to people from a more free church tradition, we're just talking about what happens in church and mention the prayer of confession, and they say, "You do that every week?" And I say, "Well, of course we do that every week. Why wouldn't we?" I don't know about you, but I sin every week. I wish I could say otherwise. And the prayer of confession is not that we come together to say, "This is the particular thing that I did," or "the particular thing that you did," but it's we come together in the comfort of community to say that, yes, we've all done something this past week that needs forgiveness, and perhaps we've already addressed it. But we say the prayer of confession as a reminder that we come before a God filled with grace, always willing to forgive. And when we speak those words together, whether they specifically address whatever's gone on in our lives or not, we're saying we are all together in this. We confess these sins. We accept forgiveness. We begin again. Perhaps this year we can work harder at living that out in our own lives and in helping those people around us. I'm sure all of us have at least someone in our circle somewhere, whether it's a close member of that circle or an acquaintance, who seems to be stuck on something in the past. A mistake they made, a relationship that's gone, whatever it might be. Perhaps this year we can be God's grace to them and helping them see that that is in the past. And yes, it has effects in the future, of course it does. But we don't have to live in light of that thing, even as we can take the effects of whatever it was into account. I often wish, as a younger person, I would have paid a little more attention to the whole notion of rehabilitating injuries properly. And all of you have graciously extended patience when I've needed it, and occasionally stools for me to sit on when I've had yet another knee operation, because if I would have taken better care of myself when I was younger, I don't think I would have had some of those same problems now. And I choose that example intentionally because it's kind of trivial in many ways. But I suppose if I was so inclined, I could look at everything in my life from the perspective of not taking care of myself when I was younger and beating myself up every day because I'm not as fit as I would be otherwise. Because I'm a drain on the healthcare system when I shouldn't have to be. Who knows what it might be? And we hear that and we think, well, that's just silly. You were young. You didn't know what you were doing. Sure, you should have done it better and you had advice to do it, but at 19, at 23, who doesn't think they're bulletproof? We all do. And people saying that to me has been very helpful for me to move past that particular trivial part of my past. But I'm sure all of us have opportunities in our own lives or in the lives of those around us to see people who are stuck on something that's a little bit less trivial than that. Words that they desperately wish they could have back. It's hard for us to live in the present. We tend to live in one or the other, the past or the future. Neither one of which is particularly helpful.
if you forget about the present.
But perhaps this year we can begin again. Perhaps this year, 2016, can be a year in which we take seriously that God says, I love you enough to send my Son to take care of the sin that you cannot take care of yourself, so that you might live the life that I have laid out for you and that you might become the person you were created to be. It's easy to say, of course we'll do that. But for some of us at least, and possibly even for all of us, it'll be hard to do that because we know who we are. We know how much better we could be if we hadn't done that thing, whatever it was. But let's begin again. Let's take seriously the reality that Jesus has always been. That he knew us at our absolute worst, and he knew what we would do at our absolute worst before he ever came here. And he came anyway. In the Christmas season, we celebrate the coming of Jesus as a baby, and that's worthy of celebration, period. We don't have to look forward to what he did, the very nature that God came to be like us is worthy of celebration all by itself. And then we add all those other things on top of it, and it makes it one of the most wonderful seasons possible. Let's begin this year to take that seriously too. That Jesus came to identify fully in the creation, in a way that the creation could understand. Because we don't understand omniscience. We don't understand any of those omnis. But we do understand a human being. We do understand that every human being has suffered in one way or another. And that when Christ became a human being to identify with our sufferings, he knows us now and loves us anyway. Let's begin. Let's begin a new year. And let's begin by remembering these things that, for many of us, I'm sure we've known them so long, it's as if there was never a time we didn't know that God loves us, that we didn't know that forgiveness is available to us at any time, that we didn't know that the Holy Spirit's redeeming work can fix any of those problems that we have in our past, not to make them go away, not so it's as if they never happened, but to bring good from them. To stick with that trivial example, knee trouble has made me more patient with other people's infirmities and has helped me understand other people's suffering in a way that I don't think anything else could have. Do I want knee trouble? No. Is it impossible that God could not have taught me some other way? Of course God could have, but this is the way I learned. And so while I don't look back at my younger self and say, good on you for not getting any of that fixed when you could have, I do look back on my younger self, I hope, with a kinder eye, and say that, yes, I wish you would have rehabbed that a little better. Or I wish you wouldn't have said that thing or whatever it might be that looms so large. But the Holy Spirit has taken that and turned it into something wonderful through the miracle of redemption. Let's begin a new year, knowing that God loves us, knowing that we can begin again and again and again as many times as we need to become the people that we were created to be. It's hard to believe sometimes for us. But each of us, each of you, is of ultimate and infinite value. And you become more and more the person you were created to be every time you embrace God's call upon you and every time you accept forgiveness. I use the good old phrase, Year of Our Lord 2016, because I like it. But there's one I like even better. Let's move into this. Year of Grace 2016. Amen.